Wednesday, December 22nd, my 53rd birthday, was remarkable for two things, a flight of wild turkeys and a surprise birthday party arranged by Lyndon. I slept late with that delightful feeling of having worked hard and not needing to push, at least for today, Helen and the office force, the tornado of Christmas well in hand. And so Lyndon and I took a walk in front of the house, went down to see how the cedar house was coming along. It's being built as fast as a child would build one out of blocks, and then to the old Sam Johnson farmhouse. And then on one of those interminable rides with Lyndon and Jesse and Dale Malachek, in which we toured the Martin and the dance. And suddenly, while we were driving along close to the fence line, I saw on the other side 2, 5, 10, a flock of wild turkeys on their tall, stilt legs. I'd never seen that many that close before. The blue behind their necks was almost iridescent, and their red wattles. Then, as they suddenly began to rise in flight, the bronze of their wings, every shade of copper and orange and mustard and brown, unfolded. It was a beautiful sight. We counted about 30, hurrying on their tall, stilt legs, soaring away in flight. I have never seen a sight like it before in all my years here. Even Dale was excited. But, alas, they were not on our land. Dale thought that they must be some Tom Weinheimer had obtained from the Wildlife Commission a year or two before. It produced a lot of progeny and flourished. Drove along in our own land in the dance. And then there were 2 or 3, maybe as many as 6, sighted on our left, running under the trees, heading toward the creek. They always liked the creek bottoms. How I wished for Oakey and his camera. Nothing could match the thrill of the last 15 minutes for me. We were back at the main house for a late lunch. And then we got back in the car with Jesse, drove over to the Hartman house to see the progress of Lyndon's own poverty project. It won't be finished by Christmas. The boys' room is, and they already have a little Christmas tree up, and Grandfather is visiting all of his 10 grandchildren, and it is a royal mess. We drove through the Lewis, and then on into Johnson City, and stopped at the apartments over the bank, where I feel I have left a few pints of my life's blood for all the hours we have spent these last 2 months on planning, painting, and decorating them. And somewhere along the road, got the news from Lyndon that he was planning a surprise birthday party for me. I was quite content to let it turn out however it may, and I would settle for the fiction that it was a pure surprise and take my hours of leisure instead of working on it. Sure enough, about 6:30, the Wesley Wests flew in from Houston, and there couldn't have been a nicer beginning for a party. And then the Frank Irwins and the Max Brooks, Nancy and Alfred Negley, Bess and Herman Jones, of course the Morsons and the Winters, and the Billy Baileys bringing a great cage containing 2 beautiful white doves, messengers of peace for my birthday, and Liz and Will Edward Odom, the brochures from Longhorn Cavern. In 1932 it was, I believe, Jean and I first explored it on hands and knees with flashlights, going with some of the park people. There were pictures taken which described us on the brochures as high school girls from Burnet, and the young and beautiful Frank Deniuses, Darryl Royal, who wears failure with great dignity and promise for the future, the Pickles and the Kilgores and the Tom Millers, and my friend Louis Shanks, a bachelor now, and of course Jesse, the indispensable Deeths, Linda and Paul Dresser, who's been with her for the last 3 or 4 days, just back from Germany, and Vicky and Marie and Lucy. Pat gets just a short time at Christmas. So it was a wonderful birthday, with all sorts of confusion, and a surprised honored guest wondering if there would be enough plates and food, but happily hiding behind the word surprise. Vinderbird gave me an old book of Gibson Girl cartoons, the very kind that used to be at the brick house when I was 5 years old. It was my almost favorite present. And Mary Ellen some date loaf, which has practically disappeared from this earth, along with syllabub. It was the most delicious treat in the Christmases of my childhood in East Texas. There were toasts and champagne, and Marietta Brooks playing the piano, and the healthy tiredness of having walked around the ranch, superintended somewhat the planting of the pyracantha and the yucca by Mr. Carter, and the satisfaction of my husband wanting to do this for me. And there was no sense of being different at 53, and 43 or 33. I wonder when it sets in, an acceptance of being old.